Father, we thank you that we can join in this great story that you, Jesus, came to earth, became man, a human being. You took our form and our place, and you lived among us. And God, we will probably never fully understand this mystery, but it is the story into which we are invited, the story that will shape our lives and change our lives. And today there may be people here today who just need this word from you, that they are loved, they are accepted, that they are invited into your kingdom. God, we pray for those who have been through difficult times recently. Pray for those who are struggling. Pray for those who are facing obstacles in their lives, and even at the beginning of this new year are challenged with obstacles that they have to overcome. We just pray that you come alongside each and every one of them. Reach out to them. Let them know that you are a God who saves, a God who rescues, a God who leads, a God who comforts, a God who gives strength. And today we pray that your presence may also be felt among us here today. Let us hear you. Let us encounter you as the God who is alive and who still speaks. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Please be seated. So kids, you're dismissed to your grace kids, as well as youth for group 68 to the youth mezzanine. Do you know the story of the pink elephant and the blue ant? You probably not, because that's the story that I tell my grandkids. It's made up. I just made up the story, and I tell them the story of the pink elephant and the blue ant and the constant battle between power and smartness. Whoever wins, whoever, you are powerful or you're smart. And they love these stories. They just listen to them, and they don't care whether they are true or not, but they just listen to those stories and love these stories. And to be honest, I think we all love good stories. Every one of us loves a good story, whether that's a novel that we read, a movie that we watched, and you may have watched several movies over the past Christmas season, or even if it's just personal experience. You know, when we come home and say, hey, let me tell you what happened to me today. And we all ears and just want to listen to a story. Stories are something that draws us in. And that's what makes actually the Bible so unique. It tells us stories. We just followed the stories of Genesis way before Advent and the Advent and Christmas season. The stories of Abraham and Isaac and Jacob. And then the stories go on in the Bible of Moses and Samuel and David and Elijah. And then the New Testament, the Gospels, retell the story of Jesus. And in the book of Acts, it tells the story of the first apostles and the first churches that were created. Those are all treasured stories collected and preserved in what we call the Bible. And taken together, they're actually only one story that leads to Jesus. The Bible is therefore a very interesting book. As we have mentioned several times, it is not just one book, it is a collection of several books, actually 66 in total, at least on our counting. And it starts with the creation of the earth and ends with the hope of the new earth, new heaven and earth. And at the climax of the story of all of that is the New Testament and the first four Gospels, the story of Jesus. It's a story that leads to Jesus. And that's what is our sermon series for the next several weeks, a story that leads to Jesus. It's a story and a foundation of what we call mission. It's the story and the foundation of what we as Christians call mission. Listen to today's scripture. It is very dense scripture. It is actually one sentence in the original language, but it's a recapture of a story, if not the story. It's from Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3 and the following. And it says, "All praise to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly realms, because we are united with Christ. Even before he made the world, God loved us and chose us in Christ to be holy and without fault in his eyes. God decided in advance to adopt us into his own family by bringing us to himself through Jesus Christ. This is what he wanted to do, and it gave him great pleasure. So we praise God for the glorious grace he has poured out on us who belong to his dear Son. He is so rich in kindness and grace that he purchased our freedom with the blood of his Son and forgave our sins. He has showered his kindness on us along with all wisdom and understanding. God has now revealed to us his mysterious will regarding Christ, which is to fulfill his own good plan. And this is the plan. At the right time, he will bring everything together under the authority of Christ, everything in heaven and on earth. Furthermore, because we are united in Christ, we have received an inheritance from God, for he chose us in advance, and he makes everything work out according to his plan." So can you imagine that? And three more verses is one sentence, one long sentence, which Paul spilled out, I don't know, he must have had an inspiration or something. Wow, one long sentence where he, in a very dense form, recaptures what God was up to from eternity and what God is still about to do as he is at work in our time. And as I've mentioned, it has to do with mission, and we will see how. When we talk about mission, then we have to look at it as a story. And I know usually when we talk about mission, we have all kinds of imaginations that come to our mind when we talk about mission. That's why we actually try to avoid the title or the word mission in the title, because it usually is quickly then, oh, we talk about mission endeavors, we talk about missional organizations, we talk about full-time missionaries who go out in foreign countries and serve. So all these kinds of images are in mission, and we check that off and say, oh yeah, that's great. Or we talk about mission and we get sweaty hands and say, oh, mission, well, that's about evangelization. It's about telling people about Jesus. And then we get this pressure in our neck and feel like weird in our stomach and say, oh man, we need to go and tell people about Jesus. And friends, there's nothing wrong with that, with any of this. But sometimes it blocks us to understand what this is all about. That this is something so exciting that it is the heart of who God is. Mission is a story. Sometimes also when we talk about mission, we have that misconception that mission is about what we do. What we do. It is initiated by us. And it's sometimes, although we don't say it that way, it's like us helping God to do what he wants to accomplish. You know, that we are helping him to do his mission. And then we talk about our endeavor and our involvement and that our activity in what mission is all about. Here's an important point to understand. Mission did not start with Matthew 28, verse 18 to 20. Go into all the world and tell the gospel to all nations. But we often consider that to be the beginning of mission. Have you ever thought about the fact that the New Testament church didn't have a New Testament? They didn't even have the gospels yet. And what did they do? They were on mission. They were going out and telling people about Jesus Christ. Why? I mean, if you don't have Matthew 28:18, why would you do that? maybe mission is way older than the New Testament. Maybe mission is something that is already and was already implemented in how they believed God and how they encountered God, how it played out even in the Old Testament. And that's what we need to understand. Mission starts with the Old Testament. Mission starts with God. And if we talk about a story that leads to God, that leads to Jesus, then we also need to understand it is the story of God. It is His story and not our story. Yes, we play a part in that, but it is a story that is God's story. It is a story, and here we are just unwrapping some of the points at the beginning of our journey into this theme. It is a story of a self-revealing God. I know, have you ever thought about this? That Christianity is not based on our search for God. Many religions are based in that we are searching for God or for a God, for some higher being. And then we look and look here and look there and we search for that. But Christianity did not start out that way. Christianity is firmly based in the fact that God reached out to us. God revealed Himself to us. That's how we say it theologically. He revealed Himself to us. He made Himself known to us. He had the strong desire to be known by His creation. And He took the initiative to do this over and over and over again. If you just have this, even although it's a very complicated text, but still in mind, do you know who is the subject of all the sentences in this whole text? Who is the initiator? Who is the one who does? It is God who has blessed us. He said, blessed be the Father who has blessed us in Jesus Christ. Who? God blessed us. What did He do? He initiated things before the starting of creation and time that He had already something in mind what He needed to do. God is the one, the driving motor behind all of that, and God wants to be known by His creation. That's where mission started. God wants to be known here in this earth. He has been acting. He has been revealing Himself. Christianity is not the story of us seeking God, but of God reaching out. And the Old Testament is a story, if you will, of encounters with God in different times, in different cultures, in different circumstances. And people have captured these stories and preserved these stories in what we call the Old Testament, how they encountered God, how God came into their lives. It was God who took on that mission. And God is on mission to reveal Himself. Today, God is on mission to reveal Himself today. It hasn't stopped. It's not like that there was some kind of a fine or a dead end and then all of a sudden we look back and tell about ancient stories. Mission has to do that God still is the self-revealing God who wants to be known. God wants you to know Him. God wants you to meet Him. God wants you to have a relationship with His creation. And that's His initiative that He started at creation and is continuing through thousands of years of history. So mission is a story of a self-revealing God, a God who wants to be known, a God who is on mission still today to be met by His creation. But not only that. It is also a story of the sending God, a God who sends, a God who calls and sends. And you can go back to various stories of the New and Old Testament, how people encounter God in various ways, in dreams, in visions, in through other people, through various circumstances. How they felt that God is speaking to them and then calling them to do work for Him, to do the things that they are called to do. And mission was not just simply about sharing the gospel and getting people to heaven. See, and that's where we cut this so short. When we talk about mission, that's why I want to avoid that, and at least change the image in our minds that mission is bigger than this. Mission is not only, hey, give them the fob for heaven. You know, here is a fob. If you come to heaven's door, you can open it. It's just by forgiveness to Jesus Christ. That's all good, but it's short. If you look at the God who is the sending God, who said he sent people to various missions, and as we unfold this topic, you will see how broad it is. But God, for example, sent people and called people for famine relief, for action of justice, for preaching, evangelism, teaching, healing, administration, all various forms where God needed people to work on this earth and to make himself known to this earth. Some examples. He sent Joseph and used Joseph for what? To save people from famine. He became a great administrator. He became a great government official with gifts from God to save people. Mission was bigger than bringing them just to God. It was helping people to save them from famine. Moses was a deliverer from oppression. He was sent to lead a people, to become a leader of thousands of people. Elijah, who was called to interfere in the course of international politics and to speak into this politics. Jeremiah was called to proclaim God's word to a nation that did not listen, that didn't want to listen to God and had no interest in God. Jesus came to proclaim good news, that the kingdom of God is at hand. Interesting enough, I often say that, you know, when we talk about Jesus never, it's never reported that Jesus preached predominantly the four spiritual laws. I don't know, some of you may know them. You know, that you're a sinner and you need salvation and you need to pray for salvation and now you're saved. Nowhere. What did he preach? The kingdom of God. The kingdom of God is here. God's reign is available, and come and taste what it is like to live under the reign of a good God. And if you do, you will be healed. If you do, you will have a new perspective on life. You will see that death is no more when the kingdom of God is coming and reigning in full bloom. And then the disciples were sent, giving healing power and to demonstrate the reign of God. Paul and Barnabas was sent to do famine relief in Jerusalem, church planting, taking care of churches, all kinds of sending. Sending is at the heart of the Bible stories. But not just that. It is the God who is calling and sending. Mission originates in God. It is his story reaching out to people. And as we will see over the course of the next several weeks, his scope is to reconcile this world, underlining world, to himself. It is a global mission, which leads us to the third aspect. It is the story of a global God. Not just a local deity, not just the God of the Jews, the God of the Christians even maybe. Although God is portrayed and identified as a Jewish God, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, God has always been a global God. And that has people, even in the Old Testament, up in arms. We're all familiar, those who have read the Bible, with the story of Jonah. And I often said that the story of Jonah, however we look at that, whether it's an illustration or a real story, it had one theme. It had the theme that Jonah was not pleased with God, who is gracious to his enemies. And that's a big theme. God extended grace to the Ninevites, to the Assyrians, the great power that was working in those days and were threatening Israel. And God showed grace, and Jonah could not stomach that. Here God reveals himself as a global God. Jonah thinks, oh no, that is my God, that's our God, and you guys, you deserve the full wrath of God, that it comes upon you. And God says, no, I'm gracious. I want to be gracious. And no, Jonah couldn't deal with that. Went and took a hike, you know, didn't want to deal with this. The Jonah story. Jesus reaching out to Roman soldiers, to the dismay of the Jews around him, that they even doubted his mission, how he can be the Messiah when he reached out to their enemy, to their oppressors. And Jesus even takes a Roman soldier and says, look, friends, I have not seen faith like this in Israel. There is this Lebanese or Syrophoenician woman, Lebanon today. This Lebanese woman who came to him, also not Jewish. But Jesus gave her daughter back, gave mercy to her. Peter, later on when he was steeped in Judaism and fond of Jesus Christ, but still didn't get the idea that the mission that they were sent was bigger than just their Jewish little community. And then he had this vision, laying there, you know, resting on the rooftop somewhere in Middle East. And then he saw this vision, and God sends him to this Roman soldier again and tells him, go there. I need you to bring the good news to this household. And that started mission, world mission. Although it took a while until all the disciples bought into that. It took Paul to really extend the mission globally into this whole world, reaching out to every single person. Mission has always been global and reaching all nations. God is a self-revealing God. That's His nature. He wants to be known. He wants you to know Him. Do you? How? Well, there's so many different ways how we get to know God. See, God is smart. Not this one-size-fit-all, how we usually do things. You know, we have one method, and then we hone into that method. That's how we do mission. But God has never done this. Even in the life of Jesus, Jesus has even healed in different forms. He always had different approaches, different ways how to meet us. And God is on the search for you to meet Him. And God will meet you the way you can understand it. It will be your story, how you met God. Remember that last song that the worship team sang with us? This is my story. This is my story. You have a story. You have your story, how you met God. And if not, maybe it's time that at some point of time you will meet God. And it has so many ways. Maybe you grew up in a Christian home, like I did. I grew up in a Christian home, and I'm thankful for that, that my parents taught me these things. But it also caused a lot of struggle in me, because I always felt like I missed out. You know, the other ones, they have life, you know, and I am here cooped up in this Christian environment, not allowed to sin and not allowed to do bad things. So, and I regretted that for many years. But in hindsight, I'm happy and I'm thankful that I grew up in this kind of environment, people who introduced me to Jesus. And it took 18 years until I finally got smart enough to understand God loves me. And I am invited into His story. My story is that, yeah, I heard these stories in kids' camps. I went to all kids' camps that were out there and all youth camps that were out there. That was part of my story. But it took me being in Bible school that for the first time in my life, I truly understood that I'm a sinner and that God loves me in spite of all that. It was just this moment when it became clear to me, I said, wow, that's it. God loves me. In spite of what all I've done, in spite of my attempts to avoid Him and not to be too spiritual and not to do all kinds of stuff. And I didn't even want to become a pastor. That was the last thing in my mind to become it, because my dad was one. So why would I do the same thing? But it was at that time that I had this encounter with God. That's my story. What's your story? How did you meet God? And it often is not a moment. It can be a time. It can be a journey. It can be all kinds of things, how we can meet God. It can be through a friend. It can be through a kid's ministry. It can be through youth group. It can be you stumbled into church and then you hear some stuff about Jesus. It can be so different, but you have a story. And this is a story of a God who wants to know you. That's the only reason why you know Him. It's the only reason that you get to know God, because He wants to know you. And He moves heaven and earth that it will happen. And in the course of the time, we may become instruments in that, but we'll look at that in more detail later on. But God is a God who wants to be known. God is a God who doesn't play hide and seek with us and say, oh, here I am, just look for me, I'm hiding here. And then we go on this long search. God wants to be known. And you might know Him, although you might not know it. He might be already in your life, working in your life in so many ways, that you don't even notice it because your eyes need to be opened at some of the things that are there. Because every good thing comes from heaven, from God. Every good thing. What good things do you have in your life? How many good things did you enjoy over this Christmas season? And if that's true, what Paul says to Timothy, that every good thing comes from heaven above, then every good thing here on earth is from God. How many good things have you encountered? Enjoyed. And God is there to reach out and say, hey, I love you. God is a self-revealing God. God is a sending God. Maybe God has sent people into your life. Have you known people who just intersected with you at some point, who just influenced you, who just changed the direction of your life and how you think about God? That's how God works. Sometimes by just those intersections of other people who, without them knowing too much that they are not officially sent and have been sending, but they just were who they are and shared with you the good news about how they live and what they do, and you just feel like God spoke to you. Or it was just something where you had struggled in your faith and somebody could explain some stuff to you that just opened your eyes and say, wow, that's good. God reaches out to you. And he does it through sending people. Sending us. He always sends us. And his sending is bigger than, as I said, just to share the gospel of Jesus Christ. It is also sending people into this world, into this city of Edmonton, to do good things for the people that live here. To support and bring social justice for those who are disadvantaged. God is sending his people out there to do that. To feed the hungry. To support the poor, to help the sick. God is sending us into this world. Don't think mission is this tiny little thing that have to know about Jesus. God is sending you, if you're a follower of Jesus Christ, into your workplace to represent his values right there. That you're a person of integrity, maybe in a world where there's all lying and cheating. A person who is friendly when everybody frowns and makes funny jokes. Somebody who accepts where everybody rejects. Somebody who brings peace where there is strife. You are sent just by who you are into your world because God is ascending God to be right in there. And it's not, as I said again, not about always whacking them with the Bible, but being a messenger of Christ. God is ascending God, and God is a global God. Your mission is not just the little circle where we are. Our mission is bigger than that. It encompasses all people. And friends, if we look at church history, what we had struggled with, to break out of their social and cultural boundaries and reach out to those who are beyond their cultural group. Church has always struggled with that. The early church struggled with that. They had promised to reach out to the Gentiles. And to reach out to them and shake their hands and welcome them into the family of the kingdom of God. Because they always felt, the early Jewish Christians felt, no, it's just us. And the Gentile Christians felt like, no, it's us. And you look at all the letters of the Bible, how they struggled in the early church to bring them together. Friends, what are the cultural barriers that we need to overcome today? Where do we have blocks in our head? Where we cannot cross certain cultural barriers because we're so comfortable in our own zone of culture. Even our socioeconomic group that we're part of. Where do we have to understand that God is a global God? A God who reaches out beyond our little group. And I've often, just in the last, I would say, several years, that I myself understand more and more how much of my Christianity was a white male Christianity. And I haven't heard the voices of the many other cultures that have experienced Jesus Christ in the same way, but are different, speak different, act certain things different. God is a global God. God is not just here. He is there in other cultures, in other religions, and revealing himself as the Son of Jesus Christ. Hear the stories that Joseph often told. You remember Joseph that we just released to Egypt? How Muslims have dreams about Jesus Christ. God is not bound by our boundaries that we often say. God is bigger than that. And we just need to be ready to reach out. Ready to understand that my God that I represent is a global God. a God who loves all people. And that means that I have to overcome my prejudices and sometimes my upbringing and my thinking and deliberately step out and bring the love of God to other people. In 1974, in July, was the first international conference of evangelization. It was called together by Billy Graham and John Stott. Billy Graham should be known by most of us. John Stott is an English churchman who comes from the Anglican Church, was at the time well known. And they called together 2,400 people from 150 countries, the first of these kind of events, and started to try to understand what it means to bring the mission or to bring the gospel to all nations. They had one model, which is this. World evangelism requires the whole church to take the whole gospel to the whole world. World evangelism requires the whole church to take the whole gospel to the whole world. If you and I serve a God who wants to be known, then we have the calling on our lives to make this God known. And to the whole world, God's goal and his scope for mission, as we have said, is global. The whole arena of this earth is his mission. And who knows where God may want to call you? Have you ever thought about that? Who knows where God wants to call you? Ever talk to God about your call in life, which could be more than just making money and make life comfortable? Could it be that God calls you to somewhere else where you can bring the good news, even with your skills, to a people that knows and needs to know him? The whole church, the people of God, God is compassionately concerned about what kind of people we are. We talk about this more. But have you ever thought about what kind of person the Amazon delivery guy is? I haven't spent too much thought about that. Well, this person has a function. And that's how we often think about this person. He has a function. He has to bring whatever I order from Amazon to my house. And when he's done so in a timely manner, great job. Awesome. If not, wow, we're upset. But this person is a person. And sometimes we think of mission the same way. We just have to have function. We need to bring the good news somewhere. And we have to deliver the message. And we have done so. Phew. And then we become riled up in some church events. You know, oh yeah, let's bring our mission back to the church. Let's go all out and change the world for Jesus. And that last 2 weeks, we're back to normal. Doesn't work. But God is not interested in our function. God is interested in who we are. And that's the most important thing for our mission. He is interested in who you are. And who you are is a mission. You are a mission by who you are as a follower of Jesus Christ. Not just the function that may define you. And we have to bring the whole gospel. As I said before, the gospel is not the solution for the sin problem. It is one of it. It is about the cosmic reign of God who has become man in Jesus Christ and who will ultimately eradicate evil from his universe. He will establish his kingdom. That's mission. And mission means now to participate in God's story. Mission means to participate in God's story. God has begun already. He's working. You don't have to make God busy. He's working all the time, everywhere, around us. And he wants you and me to see what he's doing and being invited into his mission. That was, for me, one of the most revolutionary change in my whole approach to mission. And that goes back to a good old book. And if you still have it or it's still available, read it. It's from Blackaby. What's the title of the book again? Henry Blackaby, Knowing God. Changed my whole perspective. When he shared this, God is active all the time at work. I don't have to make God busy. I don't have to bring God to some places. He's already there. All I have to do as a follower of Jesus Christ, have my eyes and ears open, be in tune with what God is doing, and then just follow him. Do what he taught me to do. Be faithful in that. And live out the way how he lives it out with all the values that comes with following Jesus Christ, and I will be on mission. And then it may be that God will call us to certain people, projects, things that just come across, and it seems sometimes so accidental, it may seem so natural how it flows, but then we all of a sudden are confronted with a situation, and God has called us in and sharing some good news with people around us. He invites us to be participating in His story. So as you go into this week, maybe that might be your first prayer and concern, that you reconnect with God, that you reconnect with Him. And say, God, maybe over the past several days in Christmas season, I was really busy. Busy with family, celebration, and all that stuff. But I want to understand that I'm deeply loved by You. You want me to know You. Thank You. Thank You. And here I am. Here I am. Help me to see this week where You are at work. Help me to see where You invite me into Your work, into Your story. That would be a very simple start into a life of mission. To ask God, please show me where You are at work. Show me. And that takes patience. It might not be that anything big happens. Probably not. Nothing world-changing all of a sudden. But sometimes we are stumbling into situations and we feel like, oh, how I got in this one? Oh, maybe God is at work. Maybe God has brought me into this to meet this person or into this situation or to change this kind of situation that I find. But it starts with my connecting and reconnecting with God, to live my life with Him, to pray and to read about Him and to just to stay in touch with Him. And then to start this journey into which God invites me. May that be, could that be your story this week? Let's pray. Father, we thank You so much that You are so interested in us knowing You. You could have stayed there for Yourself. You're happy with Yourself. You're a God who lives in three persons, the Holy Trinity. You don't need any entertainment. You don't need anything to make your life more interesting. But You are a God who is reaching out. However we sort that out and understand, it's a mystery, but You are. You have created this earth to make known Your glory. You have sent people over and over and over to make Yourself known to people who don't know You. And at some point of time, God, I met You. And maybe that's the story of some of us here today. At some point of time, we met You. And You want to be known today in our neighborhoods, at our workplaces. God, will You call us back into a close relationship with You so that out of this relationship, we reach out and just be light and be salt in this earth. But just how we are and how we are living out Your values that You have instilled on us. God, I pray that You will give us this new vision as we move along over the next several weeks to explore what it means to be part of the story that leads to Jesus. Thank You that You have begun this story. Thank You that You are at work around us. And thank You for the great invitation to be part of what You are doing in this world. All this we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.